Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Jessica Nevins, and this is the Divine It Girl Radio Show. Welcome to another show today. We are concluding our Invoking the Muse series today with episode number 8, and we have with us the amazing Kylie Slavik. Hi Kylie, welcome.
Hi Jessica, thanks for having me on.
We're so excited to have you here. Thanks for being here. Well, we're really excited to have Kylie here because, as you all know who've been listening to the series, we've talked about how, you know, the muse or spirit works through you at all times. It doesn't matter if you're an artist or not. You can access that creative energy and build amazing things. And the beauty of it is that Kylie is an amazing entrepreneur, and she has so much to share with you on her process. And I think a lot of you out there that maybe are not artistically inclined, that think, oh, well, I'll never be an artist or I have no desire for that, she'll be able to show you how she's used this in her life and done some really amazing things. So let me give you a quick background on Kylie. Kylie is an online marketing and launch strategist for visionary women coaches and entrepreneurs. She has been behind the scenes at the most lucrative women's coaching companies in the world, like Gina DeVee and Kendall Summerhawk, designing launches, filling programs, and coaching clients directly, working with women from over 31 countries. Kylie has generated hundreds of thousands of leads, mastered Facebook and LinkedIn paid advertising, run several lucrative affiliate programs, designed lead magnets, created automated funnels that made sales every single day, basically everything that happens behind the scenes that you don't see and that people often don't share. And she is fired up to place that knowledge directly in your hands so that you can go out there and transform lives and are in our shared world. Kylie is currently partnered with Allies Against Slavery, an organization in Austin, Texas, dedicated to ending the practice of human trafficking in Austin, then Texas, then the U.S., then globally. And 10% of her business revenue goes directly to impacting survivor lives. Wow, that's phenomenal. I love that. I love that you have the giving back aspect already built into your revenue model. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely really important to me. And Allies is such a cool company because, well, an organization, because they actually, a lot of nonprofits, when you give them, you know, you give them money at the end of the day, you can just feel like, oh, yeah, I wrote a check. I feel good about myself. And what happens is I grew up in the nonprofit world. So a lot of times what happens is you don't, your money goes to, you know, administrative costs, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But with Allies, it's really going right into, you know, I know exactly what's happening with the money. It's going into directly this survivor leadership program where they're taking the trafficking survivors and they're teaching them entrepreneurial and creative living skills so that they can, you know, have something to fall back on, because often they don't have much of a resume exactly, and it's hard for them to find work, and then they can go back into some form of self-exploitation. So this is a really profound organization that's working on so many different levels, and I just really believe in them. So, yeah, we work with them directly, and it's been really great.
Awesome, awesome. And I can hardly wait to dig in. And before we do, I just want to let anyone that's listening live know that if you want to call in and ask Kylie a question a little later in the show, the number to call in is 347-855-8012. And once again, the number is 347-855-8012. Okay, so now we're going to dig in, and I'm so excited to talk to you about this. You have done some tremendous things, as I just shared with the audience, a little bit about your background. And, you know, I actually got the privilege to see Kylie in action because I took a program earlier in the year. I was in a program and she led part of it, which was amazing. And I was just so just amazed at like how you put all these things together. And I know that you work a lot with God and with spirit and with the muse as far as your creation process. So I would love to hear what it's like when you start like say you're building something out for your business and you get this idea and you start with it, you know, what does that look like to you? What does it feel like? Like, I just want to kind of clue in our audience to give them an idea, like a snapshot into how going from nothing into creating something really amazing and magical that got you and your clients and, you know, these coaches that you've worked for tremendous results.
Yeah, I work on a couple of different levels, I guess. Like, I do absolutely work on the level that you're talking about, and you know, like, I spend a certain amount of time every day, especially thing in the morning. I take time to be in meditation or be in prayer and just be like, all right, God, like, what do you want me to do today? And you know, and if I start to get caught up in thinking that I'm doing it or that I'm, like, this great accomplisher, then I always like check myself and I'm like, all right, God, you know, what do you want me to do? Because I'm this is for you, you know. And so, like, that's just an integrated part of my creative process. But it's kind of funny because I used to be really into like sitting meditation, and I would do all these sort of like visualization processes to, you know, work at that creative level. But in the last month, I've actually been getting up every morning and running 2 miles every day, and that is like my new way of really clearing my mind. And so I'm skipping like the sitting meditation and I'm just running. And like while I'm running, I'm getting these amazing sort of download ideas. And then I'm just bringing them to my team and I'm like, oh, what about this? What about that? And then I just filled out my entire launch calendar for the next 12 months just basically from running in the morning. I already know like my entire year of business strategy for the next year. So I'm really getting this idea of moving meditation and spirituality through running. And I'm like, you know, I talked to God on the track. And then I found out, this is so funny, I actually found out I can custom design a pair of shoes through a certain shoe company. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to get these shoes. And one of them is going to say love and the other is going to say God. And then I can really bring this practice together, you know. So like, I got really into this running thing, and it's been really great for my creative process.
I love that. And, you know, I share that with you because it's interesting. I grew up as a dancer, so that was kind of the way that I moved my body and expressed myself. I didn't feel like as a child that I was athletically inclined, but, you know, nowadays we know that dance is very athletic. But anyway, at the time it just didn't resonate. And so for some reason I got into my head this story that was, I'm not a good runner. Oh, I can't run. And it actually carried through into my adulthood until literally during the summer, I kept on getting like this pull, like, go running. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't run. What is that? And then one morning, it just was so strong that I put on like my trainers, and I was like, all right, I'll try it. I'll try it for a block. I ended up running a mile and a half.
Awesome.
And it was the same thing that you're talking about, like just the downloads of information and the clarity, like, oh my gosh, like things just became crystal clear. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was exactly the same thing you're talking about. It was a complete moving meditation. And I was like, wow. And just like you, I've been, you know, mostly I've had to train myself to sit still for meditation and only get up to about maybe 15 minutes at most, but I like to move. So sitting meditation has always been kind of a challenge. So I was like, oh, this moving meditation is awesome. It's amazing. I didn't even know it was available to me, you know?
Totally. And I never was athletic either, and I never ran really much in my life at all. And I'm 36, and I like literally just started bringing exercise into my daily life only like a month ago. So, you know, if you think you can't do it, definitely an example of you can do it. And because I'm behind a computer most of the time and with my work, it's really helpful to have that hour, you know, of putting that first. And I was sharing with someone just the other day, like, my business does not get in the way of my running. Like, my running comes first. That's what I do when I wake up. And I just like got really into it and really dedicated to it. And I miss it. If I miss a day, I'm like, ah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, because you feel kind of off. I know I do, where it's like something's kind of, it's like, oh, I didn't go running today. You know, it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You can feel it. Those endorphins definitely help with creativity.
Yeah, and another thing that we've been talking about on the show, and especially recently, last week we had on Steph Woods, who is a yoga teacher and a dancer, and we were talking about how amazing it is when you have that ability to drop down into your body, because there's something like that really solidifies in there as far as like when you're creating. It's like you can stay all up in your head, and like you said, you can get kind of trapped in that. But when you can actually drop it down into your body, it seems, for me personally, it seems a lot more heart-centered. So when I go on those runs, or I'm doing yoga, or I'm even going for a walk, I'm able to access that heart center a lot easier. You know, even if I'm just moving my body for like 5 minutes in between conference calls or whatever, I'm just able to, it's like an instant like connection. And I was just curious, do you find that you have a similar process? I mean, obviously, you're going running every morning, and this is really fueling your day as far as giving you direction, and this powerful direction that's actually bringing in results and expanding your business beautifully. So do you have that same feeling that dropping down into your body actually helps you with you know, moving you forward?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. I used to be I came from a holistic health and sort of like spiritual background before I got into online marketing. And I think one of the challenges for me is that I was a little bit maybe ethereal or something like that. And not really that grounded. And it wasn't very helpful in terms of me, you know, because I'm a really mission-driven, vision-driven person. And it wasn't very helpful. Mm-hmm. I found my energy to be very scattered when I was operating at that level. And I wasn't really putting very much money in the bank. And I was having fun. And I had a great, like, epic, adventurous lifestyle. But I wasn't really focused on getting anything done, getting anything accomplished, and in terms of bringing my bigger vision into the world in a tangible way, that just wasn't happening. So I realized, so it's not a natural thing for me, maybe, like the dropping into the body and becoming really grounded in order to be creative, but it's a process I've learned over time, and I feel that it's so incredibly important to do that and to be disciplined in that way to do that if it doesn't come naturally, because when your creativity is coming from a grounded, embodied place, it's going to mm-hmm. land for people more, and they're going to be able to connect with it and absorb it more.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you just tapped on something there that I can hardly wait to ask you about. Kylie, actually, you know, when I got the opportunity to work with her earlier in the year, she taught me something very valuable. And it's funny because I have a marketing background as well. And I knew storytelling from the point of view of, oh, yeah, storytelling for a product, because that's what I was doing. But what she was teaching me is, you know, as a coach myself, is storytelling, you know, telling your own story to the audience so that they're able to connect with you. And it comes from such a vulnerable place that it was really scary for me to be storytelling about me rather than hiding behind a product or hiding behind a company. And there is so much that you taught me that was just so valuable. So I was just wondering if you could share, like, the creative storytelling process that you've experienced with our audience, because it was so valuable to me. It was like one of those gems that I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this is amazing. Yet at the same time, it was so vulnerable because it was so real. You know, there was nothing, you know, nothing's hiding there. It's like you're on display. So it's like,
totally.
Wow, okay, this is the real deal. So if you could kind of like walk us through that and how you were led to that, because the thing is here, people out in the audience, Kylie is so passionate about this, and that's what drew me in is like her passion for it. And when she was talking about storytelling, I was like, oh, my gosh. And I just want you to share that with everyone because I loved that so much. And it is part of, you know, working with spirit, because you really have to open yourself up to to get into the story, whether it's, you know, you're telling a story for yourself in your business, or whether you're doing it in, you know, a job you're working in, or maybe you're doing it for your kids at home, or whatever it may be, whatever container it falls into. So if you could just expound on that a little bit and share that with the audience, because I would just love that.
Yeah, and I would love to hear some other time more about your product storytelling background, because I find that completely fascinating, so we'll have to do that one day. But I, so how I came about it, I actually have my college education is, I have a degree in English literature, so I always was really into books and reading, and even my mom told me just recently that even if we were just going to my grandparents' house on, like, a Sunday for dinner, she said I would have 3 books in the car just for, like, a 15-minute car ride. I'd be like, I gotta have my... So I've always really been into, like, reading, writing, and that sort of a thing. In terms of marketing, when I became an internet marketer, you know, I stopped doing internet marketing after a couple of years because I got really frustrated with how fast everything changed, and I felt like I can't really serve my clients because I can't keep up with all the changes. And so I went back into doing something else, and I was like, I'm not doing that anymore, but it just kept tugging at me. And so finally I was like, well, you know, maybe there's things in marketing that don't change every 5 minutes, and maybe I could really study that. And it just kind of fell into my lap that it was that really the most universal application of really powerful visionary marketing is our personal story, because I was on Facebook and there was a guy named Justin Brengia, and he was doing these ads that were just like these long rambling stories, and they were so interesting and they were so long, and it was like so counterintuitive to everything I had been taught as a marketer, because usually they say, like, stick with benefits, be really fast, to the point. And this guy had, like, 1,000 words in his ads, and they were getting, I noticed, they were getting, like, 600, 700 shares, you know, thousands of comments, and his brand just, like, exploded overnight. So I was like, what is this guy doing? And I tried to break it down, and I tried to see, like, what is he doing? And I picked the elements out of what I saw him doing that I really liked, and I applied it to the client I was working with, and we did like $30,000 in sales the first time I tried it. We did like,
wow.
I think we did like, we spent like $1,500 on ads and got a $67,500 return on just one advertising campaign.
Oh,
and it was
my
just,
gosh.
And I hadn't even really, yeah, I know. And these numbers are really outrageous. And sometimes people don't even, you know, I've taken them to other traffic people and they're just like, we've never seen anything like it. And I was like, well, maybe you should tell more stories in your ads, you know. And so I started to see, you know, I started just doing it over and over and over again, and it was working and everything like that. So then I started actually studying it. I realized, you know, like, all right, that might have been beginner's luck or something, but there's other people, there's actually a science behind this and everything like that. And so I started really researching it, and I became a student of storytelling for business. And really a lot of it I made up myself, but a lot of it is just from reading and writing so much. So, you know, there's, like, in terms of a process, I think there's a lot of ways to approach it. There's a couple of formats that I think people could take from hearing us talk today and do, you know, do a couple exercises and start to have some stories in their marketing. But I would say, like, probably the top 3 formats that I use over and over again is like, especially for marketing yourself as a coach or an entrepreneur, there's always the before after story. People always want to know about what you were struggling with and what your breakthrough was. So people miss the mark on this one by either only sharing the struggle or only sharing the breakthrough. And it's really important that you take your audience through the entire emotional arc of, like, what you felt like when you were in lack, or what you felt like when you were in poor health, or what you felt like when you were in a horrible marriage, or whatever it is that your audience is looking to you in terms of leadership and vision for now. You probably have a million stories of transformation related to that, and that's the kind of stuff that people really want to hear. They don't want to hear, you know, in marketing we're told, like, market benefits, and market results, and I'm starting to really feel like that's boring, and I'm just telling people, look, like, you know, people want results and they want benefits, but there's millions of people that have the same results and the same benefits as you, I'm personally so sick of seeing like three steps to better ad campaigns, or, you know, I'd rather hear a story about how someone, you know, lost their ad account and got it back. And, you know, like I the brain just wants to be entertained. And so before after is incredibly powerful. There's one story format that I teach my students a lot called the human story, where you really show sort of your vulnerable side, and you show like your mistakes, and you show sort of your growing pains and everything like that, so that they can, you know, they don't put you up on a pedestal and they feel like they really can relate to you. And it doesn't undermine like your authority or your positioning or anything like that, but it helps people to feel like you're not so far out of reach that you can't help them because they're way behind you, or you can't really relate to where they were at, you know. And so that's another story that I like to use. And then, of course, if you like to put a little edge into your marketing, which I do, there's a story format that's called Us and Them, and it's where you just kind of position yourself. And I don't like to use it if it's inauthentic, because I really believe in unity and everybody winning and everybody succeeding. But there can be a nice little edge if it's really true for your brand, where you talk about like, oh, you know, like in mine it would be like, oh, the gurus are don't want you to know what really works, but, you know, I work for them, and so I'm going to tell you what does, and people really like that a lot. Or like I was thinking, there's a brand in Whole Foods, where I sometimes grocery shop, and there's this brand called Amy's Organics, and they have this whole line of like organic food, and they have this big long story on the back of their box about Amy and how Amy was born, and then they didn't want to feed her pesticides and chemicals, and so they started this organic farm, and now it's this huge, you know, company, and they kept the same standards. They don't necessarily say, like, oh, we're different from, you know, big agriculture, or we're different from GMOs, but they're still using that Us and Them formatting, because you automatically, in your own mind, think about that. You're like, oh, this is so much better than, like, those non-organic brands, or this is so much better than, like, eating Monsanto food, or... So it's like they're just sharing their story, and it's automatically positioning in that way. So those are like three of the, like, if you just took those three story formats and just wrote like 800 to 1,000 words, then you would already have something that you could use in your marketing right away.
That's so true. And I relate to Amy's, because I love that brand. So when you were talking
cool.
about those little stories on that, because I've read those stories. And then there's another brand also that you can find at Whole Foods. It's I think it's Annie's Organics, and it has a bunny on it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
There's a whole story with them too, and the whole story about the bunny and why she's using a bunny on her marketing. And I was like, wow, like, I love it, because it does draw you in, and it has that human touch. Because, you know, my background, as far as my product storytelling background, I was in advertising for many years, so it's that whole, you know, big commercial, big pitch, big thing. And it loses, to some extent, it loses that human connection. Some brands can do it. Some brands can
right.
really draw you in.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm finding that nowadays, you know, I've been out of the advertising sector for so many years now that it's a lot of ads I see, I just completely disconnect. I'm like, what? So
right,
I love this organic storytelling, because I find that I'm drawn into these stories, you know,
yeah.
and it makes it does make it's the beauty of the nuance, because like you said, they're not saying we're non-GMO, you know, we use organic produce, or they're not saying anything like that. It's just the way they're telling the story. They're tapping into your nuance and your own imagination. And so it's a, like you said, it's a very entertaining process, because it's a story, yes, but it also takes your imagination somewhere too, because you're like thinking about little Amy, and you're like imagining the kitchen and, you know,
yeah,
the situation.
Totally.
So I know for me, it takes me into imagination, which is so powerful. And when you can have a message and put a message out there that actually puts people in their imaginations, I feel like that really pulls them in. And that, you know, I guess that could be construed as the muse too, right? The muse working through whatever you've written. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really agree with what you said. It makes a lot of sense. And that's the thing, like, it can't be contrived. Like, if someone's telling a real true story and it really meant something to them, then you know, you do get drawn into it because it's not contrived. So I think that when, you know, people are sitting in a boardroom and they're like, oh, what story are we going to tell our audience to get them to do this, then that's not going to draw you and you're not going to picture yourself in that situation because it was made up and it's not really all that exciting. But if it's a really true story, then people will feel that. And there's a really amazing book called Winning the Story Wars that I read that really opened my mind up to all of this stuff in a whole new way. And he really talks about that. And, he has what he calls the five deadly sins of marketing, and he deconstructs, like, everything we've been taught about business and marketing, and then he's like, okay, so now what are we left with? We're left with telling really authentic stories, and that's what you have to do. And so yeah, it just makes so much sense. And the other one I forgot to talk about that's super important is kind of like your why. So people like to know that maybe you're a business coach and you know, you're up against like millions of other business coaches for clients. But if people can really connect with your why, then very often they will purchase or buy from or choose to work with you because they feel like you have shared values. And so I think that it's really important to put that stuff out front and center on your website, in your marketing, on your landing pages, in your emails, like, why are you doing what you're doing? Because, you know, like, somebody who has a social justice focus is going to work, you know, that also wants to grow their online business is probably going to work with me because they can see, like, my business is really integrated with nonprofit outreach and everything like that. They feel like they resonate with that, and then they're going to come to me. I didn't do it to attract clients, but it naturally works that way. So, you know, if you're in coaching or you're in business, you probably have a bigger reason, and it's really important to actually just put it out there and let people know what that is.
Yeah, I love that. The why is so powerful because it really does pull you in. I know that, you know, people that I've worked with or programs that I've elected to be in, it is because, you know, the why is congruent to something in me that just pulls me in like magnetically. Mm-hmm. So I find that is very, very powerful and just a really authentic way. You know, I find that, you know, nowadays I'm more guided by my heart than anything else. And when someone is being authentic or when their, you know, their why is authentic, it totally resonates in my heart, and then, you know,
absolutely,
I'm pulled in. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, this is really that's hilarious. I just spent $2,500 yesterday on a coach that I never talked to in my life, and I never knew anything about her. And we got on the phone, and we talked for 90 minutes. My friend recommended that I speak with her because it's something I was struggling with, and she's like, okay, well, you know, and I tried to brush it off. I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of busy right now, because she offered me a free strategy session after the introduction. I'm like, actually, I'd rather just, if you could send me what your offer is, then, you know, I don't want to waste your time because I'm probably not going to buy it. And I'm like, I'm really busy right now. I don't want to bother you. Well, she's like, well, my programs aren't open to the public, so, you know, let's just talk. No obligations, don't feel pressured. And I was like, okay, whatever. And the whole time, I canceled it once, and then yesterday I was like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. So I got on the phone, and we start talking, and within 15 minutes, it turned out that we had, like, so many levels of synchronicity and so many, like you mentioned the word nuance. There were so many nuances in our story that made me feel like this person could actually really, really help me. And And I was, and by the end of the call, I was like, yeah, sure, here's $2,500. And I signed up for this 6-month coaching program, and I'm so excited about it. I was diving into all the material, and I was like, this is perfect. But it really, then I was really thinking about it, and I was like, people really do really, really, really buy stories. Like, I just did it, you know? So I just, I've become more and more confident that it's true that people don't really buy results or benefits anymore. They buy stories. And you can see it in, like, sports. You can see it in politics. You can see it in religion. I mean, people will go out and fight a war over a story, and they'll go out and,
yes,
you know, like, invent a new technology because of a story they believe in. So I really feel like it's just the glue that holds, like, the global human culture together. So it makes sense that it oversees our purchasing patterns as well.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, because I know the program that I did earlier in the year that you were a part of, I connected so much with the story that I just, mm-hmm, it was like in one fell swoop, I was like signing up and then it was done. And I was like, what? It's almost like
what
it happened so quickly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then it was the same thing. And then you kind of like panic, like, oh, I think I want out of this. Or, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I don't know that I can do this. And then it's like, yeah, it's like, no, and looking at all the different reasons why it happened. And it was actually one of the best things that ever happened to me. So it's interesting, though, how I love how you shared that you signed up, but then you wanted to back out, because I've had that happen so many times, because I think there's part of you that's like, oh no, we're going to grow now.
Yeah, I know.
Scary,
I was like,
you know?
I don't want to talk to you. And then right before I got on the phone with her, I was like, this is going to be a really big thing in my life, because every time something is about to happen, that's a really big crossroads for me. I usually break down and freak out right beforehand, right? Because now we've got to do the work. So I was like, I don't even want to talk to you. And so, but she, you know, it was cool. I mean, I literally watched myself go through the process that I teach other people in terms of how to sell without really selling. Then I watched myself buy that way, and then I was like, this is really true. I'm glad to know, you know. So it was just funny to me.
I love it. You're on the other side of the fence this time, you know, actually going through the process of, you know, being the consumer instead of, you know, putting together something for a consumer. Yeah, it's amazing, that shift, and it's it's kind of enlightening at points too, because you're like, wow, like you're like I'm going through this process. This is insane, and I just love the, you know, because I have, and I don't know if this is common with most people. I think it might be, is where you are, you know, you're getting on the path to, you know, whatever your outcome is, the outcome you really want, your heart's desire, whatever. And then something flies in that it's like, oh my God, like suddenly it's real and it gets real scary and you want to like opt out, like right in that moment, you know. It's amazing how that happens, because that's just what happened with you and your story. And that it happened with me in a personal situation the other day, where I was just like, oh my God, like I was like practically hyperventilating, because it was like all of a sudden something was very real. And it was like, oh, you mean I'm going to get that? Oh God, what does that look like, guys? Yeah, so it's kind of funny how we do that. You know, it's like you sit and you're like, oh, yeah, I want this, and I want this result, and you feel it. You know, you're getting to that whole law of attraction thing where you're pulling it in. But then when it starts to show up and you're like, what? What? I didn't expect this part. It's kind of silly, but I think we all go through it where you have to make a decision. It's like the crossroads is presented to you. It's like, do you really want this? And it gets, it's like,
you do.
Because, you know, there's growth attached to that. So, you know, and as humans, naturally, we like to be comfortable. And, you know, what I've learned, especially on this journey of being a solopreneur and with me really putting myself out there where it's just me. I'm not hiding behind a company. I'm not hiding behind a product. It's become very, very different and very vulnerable, and at times very scary. So
exactly.
It's,
True.
It's like a whole new world, right? And very uncomfortable. And so I've really learned in this past year to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I know it sounds very cliche, but it really, there's a lot to that. And like you said, when these opportunities present themselves, like you just had yesterday and like I had earlier this week, where, you know, your future is like staring back at you saying, is this really what you want? And you're like,
yeah.
So, yeah. And then it's up to you to take that next step. You know, it's like either take a step in the direction toward that or take a, you know, a step in a different direction. So it's amazing how, like, we're presented with these choices at all times. And for me, I needed to go inward and figure out, like, why I was freaking out, you know, over the whole thing. Is that what you did? Did you end up going inward and, like, try and, like, be like, why am I freaking out over, I just signed up, but why am I freaking out now?
Yeah, I mean, I know myself well enough to know that my resistance is an indication that I'm on the right path. Because it's not, like, if something is not the right path for me, it's not really resistance that shows up. It's just, like, this knowing that this is not the right direction for me to go in, you know. If it's resistance,
right,
then I know that I'm trying to, you know, avoid something or get out of something. And so that's not what I want to be doing.
Yeah, I noticed, and this is just recently, like this year has been really transformational, and I've really learned a lot more nuances about myself, and that resistance, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have the same thing, where if resistance presents itself, I know that it's the right thing. And another thing is that, and this has just been recently I've noticed, that I'll feel it in my heart and I'll start crying. And the thing is, I never was like that before, but I was also on a path that was just, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't, like, deeply connected to my heart. So now that I'm deeply connected to my heart, when I encounter resistance, it usually shows up as tears. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Right, right, exactly.
There it
You're
is.
Like, well, I guess I better do that.
Exactly, exactly. Because then I try and, like, feel into the energy of a different path, and it feels so, like, not foreign, but just not right, you know. And obviously you know that feeling too, so you know that, like, ooh, that's not right for me. So then you have to push, you have to go through, you have to walk through the resistance in order to, you know, get to that other side. So that's really amazing. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that a lot of, especially a lot of women, go through that too. And that's something I wanted to touch on, because most of my audience is women that listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And you have posted, and if you haven't, you know, for all of you out there, if you're not familiar with Kylie and this is the first time you're hearing about her, you should check out her website at KylieSlavik.com, because her blog posts are amazing. If you're a coach or an entrepreneur, like, they really hit home for me. Like, I'm like, oh, she's like, you're preaching it. I love it.
We tend to polarize people into really, really liking it or letting me know they really didn't like what I said. So there's
well,
something.
Perfect,
so there's something for everybody on my blog.
What I love is that, and this was, I think it was a blog post that you wrote maybe last month, where you were talking about how doing business as a woman is definitely can be different, especially if you want to do it authentically. And if you want to stay in, like, your feminine power to do it. So I'd love for you to speak a little bit about that, because I have a lot of, you know, audience, it's women, a lot that are entrepreneurs, that they would glean so much from that if you could just share that. Because I think there are a lot of women out there. I've actually had a conversation with a friend yesterday who is also an entrepreneur, and she said, I just got so sick of living in that masculine container.
Yeah.
Where I had to do business that way. And she goes, it wasn't authentic to me and something didn't feel right. And she goes, when I was able to let go and to start doing things, you know, through my intuition and through, you know, being in my feminine energy, she said things started to fall into place and doors started to open. And I said, yeah. And she said, can you imagine if more women were doing that? and how the planet would shift. And I was like, yeah, that would be so amazing. And then I thought about your work, and I thought, well, how perfect that we are having this conversation today. So if you could share that with our audience, I would love that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it may or may not, like, I'm not sure to think about it as masculine or feminine because I'm not, you know, I don't know. Like, but I understand what you're saying, and I think it's more of, like, this human thing that's happening where everybody, the men and the women, are really looking around at what is happening on the planet. Mm-hmm. They feel like we need to step into a deeper level of leadership, personal responsibility, vision. And so what's happening is, like, we have to unlearn a lot. Like, a lot of systems are crashing around us, and we've got to create things to place them with. And I think in terms of my particular area of focus, which is business and marketing, the old ways of doing business are not resonating for people anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, what happens in my business is I get these women that come to me for coaching, and quite frankly, I've got to do a lot of unlearning with them. Like, that's the first, you know, like, if someone does a 30-day coaching package with me, the first 2 weeks are all just like, look, you don't have to do that just because someone told you to. You don't have to copyright like this. You don't have to share your story like this. And people are trying to fit themselves into a box, and it doesn't work. And so what I do is I'm like, let's tap back into your personal, like, to your voice, to your personal power. Let's just say what you would say to a friend, you know, and that's how I want you to do your marketing. And so a lot of times I find that, you know, we're just unlearning a lot of strategies that people tell us work. And I'm telling them, you know, the only people that ever made money off those strategies are the people that sold it to you. Like, they don't work. So
yeah.
So it's, you know, it is what it is, and God bless them. But a lot of the sort of, like, marketing strategies that worked in the 80s and 90s when television was really the main way of advertising, TV and radio, mm-hmm. that kind of interruption, like, obnoxious, you know, the way that you're supposed to talk about things and promote things. Now that we have social media, what people are really craving is authenticity and depth, and they want to know what your life is really like. You know, one way that mm-hmm. this comes out is, like, women come to me and they're like, I don't have $10,000 to make videos. And I'm like, do you have a phone? Because that's all you really need. They're like, but I thought I needed it. And it's just like, you know, my favorite video marketer is Mia Davies, and really she just uses her phone and a green screen. And she told me you can get everything that you need for video production for less than dollars, and that's all she's ever used. And so, like, people feel like they've got to live up to this expectation of what they see everybody else doing. And the truth is, like you said, when we just drop into the body, when we just listen to our intuition, when we ask God, you know, what do you want me to do, then those, we're going to express really authentically, and those doors are going to open.
Yes. Yes, completely. And I can't stress it enough, only because, you know, I really just went through a huge bout of this just recently in kind of, you know, reworking my brand. And I remember that when the guidance came through me, I thought to myself, oh, no, that feels a little too scary. You want me to say what? And once again, I start crying.
Yeah,
and that's how I knew. That's how I was like, oh, see, that's like coming right from my heart. So, and it's interesting, I reworked my About page and put the story up there, and I was on a discovery call with a potential client the other day, and she said, oh, gosh, I just really connected with your story. And literally,
right.
It had only been up a day or two. And I was like, what? Like, it really can happen that quickly. So, So there's a testament right there to the power of storytelling. And when you're coming from a really, like, authentic place. And that was, like, my heart was on the page. Like, I just poured it out and went, oh.
Totally.
That's
what people really want to hear.
That is, and they feel it. I think that, because I read stories about people, and I feel it, and there's a connection there. And then, you know, there are also other people that are being very authentic to who they are, and I just don't connect with them because I'm not supposed to. You
right,
know,
exactly.
It's just like, if you think about all the friends you have, you know, in you have them because you connected with them on some level, but you're not going to be friends with everyone on the planet, you know?
Right. And I always tell people, like, women are always, this is one common objection that comes up to story. Women are like, oh, but if I tell this part, then I'm going to alienate these people. Or if I tell this part, I'm going to alienate these people. And I used the word polarizing earlier, and it's like, you want your story to eliminate the people who are not your people so that you don't have to spend your time on discovery calls with people who are not your clients. You don't, if you're running advertising campaigns, you're not wasting your money having people on your ads and go through your funnels and paying for them to be on your email list. If they're not your people, there's no point in doing that. And I tell most of my clients are coaches, and I always tell them, look, here's the thing. You don't need more than 100 clients this year to have a six-figure business. So you don't need to have like millions of people agreeing with you or liking your point of view. You just need a couple of hundred people to see your content. There's a billion people on the planet, and I think 5 billion of them have internet access or something like that. So you've got a range of about 5 billion people, and all you need is 100 of them to understand and resonate with your story. And so that's the thing. Yeah, like you tell your story, well, they don't like it. Well, that's okay because, you know, the person who's supposed to will find you because of it.
Yes, and that is so true. And I found that because before I reworked my story last week or the week before, I found that my emails that I was sending out to my list were getting more and more authentic and more vulnerable.
Right.
And my unsubscribe rates went through the roof. And I was like,
totally.
Oh, but also, what was interesting, is, like you said, what happened with your blog post is that it was polarizing. Like, I got tons of unsubscribes, but I also got people actually responding to the email saying, that was so beautiful, I so connected with that. And they tell me their story. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I had all these fans come out of the woodwork, and then I had all these people like unsubscribe. So I was like, okay, so this is perfect.
So something's working. Obviously something's working. And it can be hard to like go through that rejection when you're like really vulnerable, but it actually, if you can, you know, deal with it a couple times and hang through it, then it gets a lot easier, and you do start to form closer relationships with the people that are resonating with your content. And, yeah, like the other people fly off. I mean, I wrote a blog post, and it was called Nobody Cares About Your $20,000 Month. And it was like...
Oh, that was the one that I loved.
Well, I just started seeing all these women in Facebook groups just like bragging about how much money they made, and they weren't offering anything else. They were just like, their whole marketing sequence was like, I made 30 grand, and I can show you how... And I was like, you know, I've written ad copy like that before when it was Facebook compliant. It's not anymore. You can't really say that in ads anymore. But I used to say stuff like that because I knew that it got people's attention and it would get people to opt into my clients' like marketing sequences and stuff like that. The thing is, once they opted in, there was like so much more value than just let's talk about money. So I wasn't saying in my blog post, look, you guys, stop talking about money. I mean, I'm a business coach. I'm a marketer. Of course, I want to make money. I want my clients to make money. But I was just saying, like, if that's the only thing that you have to say, I mean, what about the lives you're impacting with the money? What about the team you can afford to hire? What about, you know, that you can increase your paid traffic revenue? You're impacting more people. You're having a better lifestyle. Like, what does that money really mean to you? That's what I want to know. And people got really mad about that, but a lot of people really liked it, and a lot of people were like, thank you for finally calling that out. I've been feeling like I don't even want to be a coach anymore because I'm so sick of this, this insensitive, hyped-up culture around coaching and money, and now I feel like, you know, you just reconnected it to something bigger and something more meaningful, so they were so grateful. And then other people were like, talking about it in Facebook groups and deleting me and getting really angry and saying that I don't support women making money and I don't support women. And I was just like, you know what, that's not about me at all, because if you could read, then you would know that that's not what I said. So it was
Exactly. And And I will encourage anyone who hasn't read that blog post yet to go check it out, because I loved it. When you wrote it, it really resonated for me. So I was like, oh, thank God someone wrote this.
I don't mind being the one to say it if I see it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You build trust through sharing yourself in that way with the people that are meant to find you and work with you. And then maybe some other people are like, that's not my mentor, that's not my teacher, that's my peer, that's not my partner, whatever. And that's okay, because they'll go and find their people, and then they'll create something really awesome. And I want to, and you know, I want that for everybody. So it's not all about like join my camp or be in my club. It's like find your community and create something amazing with them. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I love that too. The whole idea of community and tribe and you know, this kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, is that if you are really being your authentic self, you will tend to polarize an audience, and you'll find your supporters, you'll find the people that will continue to follow you, and then you'll find the people that do not want to be part of that camp. And that's okay if they're not part of your camp. They're meant to be with someone else's camp, and that's totally fine.
Exactly.
Like you said, there's,
yeah,
what, 5 billion
totally.
People out there. I mean, there's no shortage of people.
No, not at all.
So it's,
very,
you know, it's if you can get past the rejection, then it actually works in your favor. And I actually, at first, I remember the first round when it happened, I was like, ooh, that doesn't feel so good. But then I think like the second and third time, I was like, ooh, okay, so I'm digging in here. Like, this is working now. People are,
yeah,
like people
totally.
Are unsubscribing, but also other people are really deeply connecting. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. So it became more fun than anything. And it actually helped to, you know, blossom the brand in the way it's supposed to. So I love that you've had that experience too, because I think a lot of people, they automatically assume if they're getting rejected that they're not doing it right. But actually the rejection is coming from the people that aren't meant for you, you know?
Yeah, and it's for women, definitely, like, we talked about, you know, feminine and masculine modes of doing business, and I think for women, this is definitely going to be more of a pain point than the men. The men are just like, whatever, you know, like, you don't want my stuff, that's fine, I'll find someone else. That's what I've noticed with, like, the men I've done business with, and the women, it's more emotional. Even for me, like, I absolutely have rejection issues. I feel like I'm really pouring my heart and my soul into my work, and when someone doesn't like it, I can immediately make that about me instead of just seeing it for what it is, which is they don't resonate with that message, but that doesn't devalue me and that doesn't devalue the message. They just don't resonate with it, and that's okay. But I have to kind of walk my, like, even, it's so funny, like, even when I make a Facebook ad, because I've done, you know, millions of dollars of sales for other people in Facebook, and it's harder for me to do my own Facebook ads for some reason. I'm actually thinking about giving them to an agency deal. But I make an ad, and then, like, if it doesn't immediately take off, then I feel like, man, they don't like my ad. Like, what's wrong with me? You know? So.
Yeah. I've had that experience too.
Yeah, but then it's like, well, you didn't give them what they wanted, Kylie. That was on you, you know? So, like, let's tweak the headline, or let's try another picture, or, you know, something like that. And so it's really funny. Like, it's a dance for me, because I, you know, being an entrepreneur, being an artist or a coach or whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to deal with rejection every single day to a certain degree. But the amount of impact that you can have on the people that you do work with is so much more profound than really doing something that is not your soul's calling. So we just deal with it. That's the best way I can say it.
That's actually beautiful advice, because you really, you just, if it's in your heart and this is what you want, you do find a way to deal with it. You do find a way to keep pushing forward. The strength is there. The strength will come, you know. I find that when I feel like things are getting tough, I just back off a little, and I don't work as hard. Like, maybe I'll go for coffee with a friend, or I'll, you know, I'll just do something that I want to enjoy rather than you know, anything work-related, and then all of a sudden I'll get ideas again, you know. It's like you kind of have to, like, take a step back.
Right.
Really, really interesting how that happens.
Absolutely. No, I know it's definitely a dance, and we just get better and better at it as we move through it, and, you know, there's good days and bad days, but ultimately, like, I tell my, you know, I wake up and I do my work, and I'm like, wow, that was like, it's like, The week flew by so fast because I was so absorbed in creating. And then I think to myself, you know, maybe I'm crazy for being an internet marketer. And then I'm like, you know, I couldn't, there is nothing else in this world that I can imagine doing. Like, this is it. So I'm virtually unemployable at this point in time. So I just, you know, whatever comes up that pushes me over my growth edge, I just have learned to have an attitude of gratitude and acceptance about that, even though in the moment I might resist and have a little, you know, be upset or rebel or whatever against my emotional experience. In the end, I always feel like, oh, you know, being an entrepreneur is helping me grow as a person. And even yesterday I was telling somebody, I have to grow into where my business is taking me because my business is growing so fast. And I need to grow with it. Like, I'm 10 steps behind what my business has a life of its own, and it's, like, 10 steps ahead of me at the maturity level. No, so I was like, I need to step up, and it's giving me, you know, I could go to some ashram in India and listen to some guru, or I could just be an entrepreneur because, honestly, it's giving me everything that I need to do to grow. So it's cool that that happens.
Oh, it does do that, yes. I feel that, too.
Anything unhealed is going to show up, yeah. So
and it shows up big, too. It shows up, like, it stares you in the face, and you're like, oh, wow, okay. Because, you know.
I'm scared.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, there you are. I see you. It's like, and I can't go around you, so I have to deal with you. So yeah, it's an amazing journey, I will say that much. And I love the creative aspect of it, because it is I find that, you know, being an entrepreneur is a very creative thing to do. And there's so many, you know, different ways and nuances that you can do that are unique to you. And so it's a fun modality to work with as far as, you know, being in the realm of all the different options that we have available to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we are almost out of time here. It's amazing how that happens. I love how the show just kind of, like, it takes on this momentum at one point. It's like, you know, you start, like, building it in the beginning, and then it just starts to go, and it's like, whoa, okay. And then
all
of a sudden, it's like an hour later.
Talk about all that.
Right, exactly. Which is, you know, just part of it. That's what I love about it, is just the flow with it. And you know, you just, the ebb and the flow, and you just let it happen. And that's kind of the magical aspect of what this whole series has been about, is that, you know, the muse comes in and just kind of takes over, you know, spirit takes over. As long as we surrender and, like, get out of the way, then it seems like it comes to fruition quite effortlessly, you know?
Yeah, beautiful stuff. Well,
so
thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show, Kylie. This was amazing, and I couldn't have thought of a better way to close out the series. I mean, I just thought that this is, like, you know, like, really the series is going out with a bang. So thank you so much for giving us your time and for sharing all your beautiful knowledge with the audience. And once again, if you want to look into Kylie a little more, you can go to KylieSlavik.com. And check her out and see if you can find that blog post, because it was amazing. I love that blog post. And you're very welcome. And we will be back again with another episode of Divine It Girl Radio next week. But this is the conclusion of the Invoking the Muse series. So all of you out there, you have a fabulous week. Love and sparkles to all.
All right. Bye.